These interventions are not simply moral wrongs or matters of historical interest, but things that have direct bearing on the quality of our lives as human beings interacting with one another, individually and as groups in the United States today. The costs and the consequences do not go away. These are not simply matters of academic interest. The second Red Square, when they drove Left Voice entirely out of the academy for virtually a generation, another set of costs and consequences. But in the aftermath of that is when you see the establishment of this thing called COINTELPRO. And what you have to understand about COINTELPRO is it's not really a disconnect at all from the sorts of things we've been talking about. Everything that becomes an element of COINTELPRO, everything that has to do with its goals and objectives and so forth, was already on the table. They've been doing it to organizations like the IWW and the immigrant anarchists. They've been doing it to the Communist Workers Party and the Communist Party. They've been doing it to United Negro Improvement Association, the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters, various elements of the labor movement, Harry Bridges, and so on, all along, but they've been doing that on an individuated basis, on a case-by-case basis. And you had personnel that specialized in it, but they were kind of roving people. COINTELPRO, secret in its inception, made the whole thing centralized, coordinated, systematic, and applicable in a unified fashion at the discretion of the FBI director to any organization, any locality within the reach of the FBI. That hadn't been done before, and it was done at a period of absolute decline of the left. The left was gone. In fact, the FBI had to reinvent the Communist Party. They destroyed it. It was moribund. Such cadres that had left were all underground and scattered into other countries even. The FBI had to actually reconstitute the CP in order to have a target to use as a laboratory for this coordinated effort. We had this standing joke back in the 60s when I first became active that you could always tell the FBI agent in the Communist Party because that was the only guy in the local chapter that would be paying dues. Okay? Right. But it got a little more than that. You see, some of those chapters were wholly composed of FBI infiltrators. All right? They didn't all know, you know, each of the infiltrators didn't know the other bros were infiltrators, so they were reporting on each other, all right? Sometimes that was a matter of inefficiency, but sometimes it was a matter of, well, we have to have tests and see what the accuracy of the information would be. Now, both parties to this are reporting on one another, and we know what each of them is doing. We can test a relative degree of accuracy of the informant information. See what they're doing in a social science fashion. Yeah, just bizarre. But some of it isn't funny because you had still some active cadre who really thought they were communists. And the real communists were getting bad-jacketed by the infiltrators as being infiltrators themselves. Now you got a couple cases, and I don't recall the names, and that's a disrespect, and I apologize both to the audience for not remembering the names, but more importantly to the people whose names I just forgot. You got a couple of bona fide communist cadres who end up getting bad-jacketed as being infiltrators and go off. I mean, their world's just been destroyed. So they destroy themselves. Got a couple suicides out of this. The FBI chalks these up as successes. We neutralize these bona fide cadres. We wonder if there's not a more indirect yet efficient means to do that.